Church, there is no one like our God. He is great, He is mighty, He is sovereign, He is majestic, He is worthy of praise. And as we've just sung, one day every knee will bow before Him. And so as believers gathered together on this Lord's Day, we want to pray that many would come to know Him and turn their hearts toward Him. And the subject of our intercessory prayer on this Sunday morning is the nations. And specifically, I want us to pause this morning and to pray for a particular nation. I want us to pray for the nation of France. The Olympics are underway and Paris is host city, and we want to lift up this nation and these people to God, asking that He would be known there in a mighty way as the only God and the God who saves. No doubt many of you have seen a lot of the buzz in the news, and perhaps you even watched that there was a mockery made of Christianity and the Christian faith there as part of the opening celebration. And we entrust that to the Lord. God is a God who will not be mocked, and ultimately He will be known. And so we want to pray that He will be known in Paris and in France. And He is known among some there. And to give some numbers to that, the country of France has about 68 million residents, citizens living in France, and about 1% of those are evangelical Christians. That's a very small number, like much of Europe. And so we want to pray for those people, that we want to pray for believers there, that they would be strengthened in their faith, that they would be salt, that they would be light, that they would be encouraged to know and to follow Jesus, and that through their witness, many others around them would come to know and follow Jesus. And we want to pray for those that don't know the Lord. Many, many across France would claim some allegiance and some heritage to a Catholic faith, but many of those not practicing. And just to put another handle on that number, I read that fewer than 10% of French people own a Bible. And so that puts that perspective, that puts the faith, the Christian faith, in perspective across that nation. And so we want to pray that that would change. I want to invite you to pause with me this morning and pray that that would change. So let's bow together and cry out to the Lord of the nations. God, we turn to You this morning just grateful for Your love, Your grace, Your mercy. Lord, You're a God who saves. You are great. You are majestic. You're sovereign. You're splendid. You're eternal. You're righteous. You're true. We've sung of Your greatness. You're holy. You're set apart. You're set above. You're worthy of praise. And Lord, You deserve to be praised by people from every nation, tribe, tongue, and language. And Lord, we thank You this morning for believers residing in France. God, embolden them, encourage them, grow them. Lord, use them. Father, use believers even as the world is in Paris right now. Lord, for the Olympics, use believers to spread the news of salvation in Christ. God, we pray that many would come to know and follow Christ. We thank You for faithful believers throughout the centuries in France. Now we think of one well-known French believer who has had an impact on our faith in significant ways. We think of John Calvin, the Reformer, and Lord, we thank You for his faithfulness. But Lord, many others, countless others to us that trusted in You and proclaimed the riches of Your grace, known to You. And God, we pray that many, hundreds, thousands, tens and hundreds of thousands, Lord, would come to know the Jesus who saves. You're worthy of praise. And Lord, as we continue to worship You in this space this morning, in this place, Lord, we pray that You would be exalted right here, that You would turn our hearts and our minds toward You as the God who saves. And it's in the name of Jesus, our Savior, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Where is our hope in life and death? It's in Christ alone. Church, let's stand. Christ, our hope in life.
This time, any elementary kids that want to participate in children's worship time, Treehouse with Mr. David, are welcome to be dismissed at this time to the foyer as they begin that time of looking at God's Word together. And many of these kiddos had a blast this weekend at our church retreat over at the Hargis Christian Center in Chelsea. And if you get a chance, ask them about it. Many of our adults that went, we had a blast also, but what a good time. And if you didn't go, you're going to want to go next time. A lot of fun was had together as we were challenged from God's Word and built relationships and friendships with one another. And we're challenged to devote ourselves to each other in Christian love as followers of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this morning as we open up a Bible to Psalm 121. This is page 500 in a pew Bible. But as you're opening up God's Word, let me ask you, have you ever felt anxious or alone? Perhaps scared that what you were facing was more than you could bear. Overwhelmed by the dangers that may have been lurking around you. And the answer undoubtedly for probably all of us is, of course you have. Life is precious. And all too often we're reminded of how easily it can slip away. Trouble abounds in this life. And whenever trouble alarms you, Psalm 121 is for you. We're going to lean into it this morning and read it and reflect on it. Seek to find comfort from our Maker and our Savior in it. It's one of 15 songs of ascent, beginning in Psalm 120. These were psalms that were sung as pilgrim songs. They were used for pilgrim journeys to Jerusalem, to the temple, for one of the various festivals that invited and called upon the Israelites to come to the temple to worship the Lord. Perhaps they were sung on the steps leading up to the temple, but they were certainly used in worship either on the way there or upon arrival there in Jerusalem. And so we're going to read it and reflect on it over the next few minutes and think about the Lord who keeps us. The Lord will keep you. Psalm 121. And so as you find your place there, let me invite all who are able, would you join me standing for the reading of the word. Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Would you pause with me for a moment of prayer? Father, we thank you for the truths that are conveyed in this text about you, Lord, as the God who keeps us, who watches over us, who protects us. Oh, instruct us now, lead us now by your Spirit to understand your word that we might know you and rest in you. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We are in a short sermon series from the Psalms, a few Psalms on the God that we praise. And so we've been seeing different things about the God that we praise. And in this text, in Psalm 121, we learn that the God we praise always watches over his own. The God that we praise, the God that we've sung to this morning and about this morning, is a God who always watches over his own. That's the message of this psalm, that the Lord God, will keep you. He is your personal keeper through this life. Now you undoubtedly know this, Meadowbrook, but in our church family, we have folks facing surgeries. We have people battling cancer. We have others that are awaiting scans, some dealing with depression, others worried about the future, some struggling with addiction, and others, no doubt, heartbroken over loss. And chances are, those of us who aren't may soon be. Where can we turn for help? What can we cling to for hope and comfort? Where is our comfort and our hope? I think so often we look in the wrong places for help and for hope. The political campaign trail is getting hot, right? And some of us are putting all of our hope in the outcome of November's election. Elections matter. They do matter. And we ought to be carefully and prayerfully engaged in them. Absolutely. But no president or political party can save you from pain. Some of us are nearing family milestones. Marriage, children, grandchildren. Or personal accomplishments. Graduation. College. A new career. Retirement. But none of these, significant though they are, can eliminate danger or give you hope in the face of death. You see, there are few things more obvious to the honest man or woman than the prevalence of danger and the need for help. And according to this psalm, our Maker is our helper. Our Maker is our helper. Though we face danger, the Creator helps us. That's what we see right away in this text in verses 1 and 2. Though we face danger, though we will face danger in this world, the Creator helps us. Most biblical scholars think that the psalmist is either traveling to or returning from Jerusalem for one of the seasonal feasts there. And no matter what direction you enter Jerusalem, you're in the hills. Hills or mountains filled with danger. Slippery trails, loose rocks, deep valleys, robbers, and wild animals. I mentioned not long ago that recently, this summer, one of the things that our family did was we went on a short trip to the Smoky Mountains. We went up to Gatlinburg with some extended family, and we spent a little time in the outdoors. We went on a hike. Some of us went on more than one hike. We went on one hike all together, and we went to a beautiful place there in the National Forest, and that's Laurel Falls. Perhaps you've been there. It's a couple mile hike, and at the end of that hike, there's a beautiful waterfall. And so there's anticipation. It's a family-friendly trail. Most of it's paved, not all of it, but you're on your way. You're trying to get there, and as you go, you're ascending higher and higher and see beautiful views as you do in that part of the country. And, of course, all around the forest, but also all around town, there are warnings about bears, black bears. And we saw some bears, which is pretty cool. You're not to feed the bears. Don't get close to the bears. Don't leave stuff out for the bears. Don't get near the bear. So we know that, but as we're going along on this particular trail, quite a ways into the trail, we see a sign, and this is what it looks like. It says, danger, falling deaths have occurred. There are high vertical drop-offs ahead along the trail and at the falls. Here's the key point here. Closely control children. Now we've got children, and we've some other cousins on this trip, most of them very young. We're in a mixed group of adults and kids, and we're just sort of scattered across that trail. And so by the time we're seeing this, many of the kids, they're on up there. And so it changes your perspective as you begin to look, and you see there's an area where it's a pretty far fall. Well, I don't know if there were signs along the trails on the way to Jerusalem, but such a sign perhaps would have been fitting. Because there's anticipation, no doubt, among the pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for the feasts and celebrations, anticipation of worshiping there where the Lord resides at the temple, but also, no doubt, anxiety triggered along the way. The psalmist expresses concern and confidence, stating quite clearly, right away, that his help isn't from the hills, but from the Lord, Yahweh, the God of Israel, who made those very hills. Verse 1, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Notice that he doesn't deny danger. It's assumed. The journey is fraught with danger, but our Maker is our helper, meaning God provides what is lacking, doing for us what we otherwise could not do. It's a common word in the Old Testament. It's the same word in the Hebrew, Ezer, used in Psalm 46, verse 1. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. It's also used, by the way, in Genesis to describe the woman that God creates in the garden as a helper to complete the man. Essentially, the use of help here suggests that without the Lord, the journey to Jerusalem would be unfit to take. And for the believer, the pilgrim journey to Jerusalem becomes a parable for all of life. In other words, God isn't just our help. He's not just their help when they're traveling to the holy city, but he's their help as they're traveling through this life, so that the truths of this psalm can be readily applied to you and to me. And with the Lord, there's nothing to fear, for the answer to the question, where does my help come from? The answer to the question dwarfs the danger of the journey. It's the Lord's personal name, Yahweh. Appearing in your English Bible in all caps, the Lord appears in verse 2 for the first time, the first of five times in this psalm, and he's introduced as the Maker of heaven and earth. I'm going to press that a bit further. That's a figure of speech that's very common in the Psalms, a merism, signifying the whole universe and everything in it. He didn't just make the heavens and the earth, he made everything in them. Read Psalm 104 this morning. Maybe go home and read Psalm 104 that just recounts the greatness of the God who created the heavens and the earth, the things in the earth, the things in the heavens. And for centuries, believers, Christians have confessed in the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Side note, Meadowbrook folks, if you have questions about the Apostles' Creed, you can consult with Mr. J.T. Hart, who's preparing and applying, as many of you know, since in a call to ministry, applying to Beeson Divinity School, in process of that, and part of that application is writing an essay on the Apostles' Creed. And so he's doing some reading about that. But the point is that if the Lord created everything, then he created the hills through which the pilgrim must walk, and whatever the Lord has created, he can control. See, though we face danger, the Creator, who is sovereign over every place, helps us. Indeed, the Lord will protect and preserve us. The Lord will protect and preserve His people. He'll protect and preserve His people. There's a shift in our psalm. You notice it in verse 3, where the message changes from concerns expressed to assurances offered. The Lord will protect and preserve you. There's a change in tone there. It's either an inner dialogue, it may be, such as we read about in a psalm like Psalm 42, where the psalmist says, why, my soul, are you downcast? You know, what's wrong? Put your hope in the Lord. Or it's another believer comforting the pilgrim, beginning in verse 3 along the journey. It could be either, but it's probably the latter, for the dangerous journey would lead worshipers to travel together. And of course, we believers know there's beauty in life together. This is why we have Sunday school, life groups. This is why we do church retreats. This is why we have community groups. This is why we have camp experiences, and to some degree, this is why we do mission trips. There's beauty in life together. We grow together, as one commentator reflects. He says, questions are raised and answers are offered. Songs of comfort and assurance are sung as the company of the committed move along the path. Encourage one another along the way. And the assurance that's offered here is that the God we praise watches over His own. Church, he will protect and preserve his people. His people are those with faith in him. Is your faith in him? Is your faith in this God? Is your trust in him? Are you trusting him? The Lord watches over his own. Beginning in verse 3, the verb shamar, meaning to keep or to guard, to protect, to watch over, appears 6 times in this psalm. That's significant. To describe what God does for his people. It's also used in Genesis. It's the same word that's used in Genesis chapter 2, where God commands Adam to take care of or to watch over the Garden of Eden. The word is used for a guard that is to keep watch on something. It's the key word in Psalm 121, assuring the believer that the Lord is your keeper. He's your guardian. He's your protector. The guardian of Israel, verse 4, is the guardian of every individual believer, verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. What does it mean that the Lord is our keeper who watches over us always? It means that he remains alert and attentive to our needs. The Lord is always alert and always attentive to our needs. Perhaps you remember the showdown in the Old Testament that's described in 1 Kings chapter 18 between Elijah and the prophets of Baal about who is the true God, the living God. They gather there on Mount Carmel and they're both to build an altar for a sacrifice with a bull on the altar, and they're to call out to their respective gods to send down fire to light that altar. And the prophets of Baal began to cry out to Baal to light the fire on the altar, and nothing happens. And so Elijah, a prophet of the Lord, begins to taunt them, and he says, perhaps your God, perhaps Baal's in deep thought. Maybe he's busy. Maybe he's traveling. Maybe he is sleeping and needs to be awakened. And you know the story. Baal never wakes up. But the moment Elijah calls on the name of the Lord, God sends fire from heaven that consumes the sacrifice that's been doused in water, and even, the Bible says, burns up the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 38. You see, the Canaanite gods, I didn't know this, I came across this in preparing for today. The Canaanite gods were thought to sleep in the hot summer when the plants withered. In other words, things, you know, plants are having a hard time, the gods are resting. Taking times and seasons to be off duty. But the Lord our God, he never takes a nap. Right? He's never off duty. He's always on duty. He's always awake and alert, tending to the needs of those who simply trust in him. Isn't that good news? As the God who protects and preserves his people, he remains alert and attentive to our needs, protecting us both day and night. The Lord protects us day and night. It's part of the message of this psalm. Watches over us day and night. Notice the repetition of God's name in verse 5. The Lord, all day long. It is the Lord who is at our right hand, verse 5, shading us, an image of comfort and protection from the scorching heat of the rocky journey. Verse 6, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Again, two more figures of speech. The same one, implying all the time, day and night, and everything that goes on, everything that happens under the sun and the moon. The late pastor Vernon McGee reflects on this. He says, the Holiday Inn and the Ramada Inn hadn't built any motels yet. So travelers going to Jerusalem had to camp along the way, and they were looking to Jehovah to keep them. Day or night, darkness or light, it makes no difference to our God. Even through the night, our God is by our side. He's watching and He's witnessing everything. He's exercising sovereignty over all creation and care for His children. He's always there to help. The God we praise always watches over His own. Now, church, this does not mean we'll live trouble-free lives. In fact, this same book, the book of Psalms, is quite clear about that, filled with psalms of lament, complaint to God. God, I'm in trouble. Where are you? But as believers, we agree with Paul that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. But so often that good isn't felt here. And so as believers, we read the Bible believing God's promises fulfilled in the first coming of Christ to defeat sin and death. And yet at the very same time, awaiting His second coming, awaiting Christ's return to take us to the new Jerusalem where we'll live with Him forever. You see, we do face danger. And should the Lord tarry His return, we'll face even death. But the message of the Bible is one of victory over death, one of resurrection unto eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so, unto the grave, what will we sing? Christ, He lives. Christ, He lives. And what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him. There we will rise to meet the Lord, then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy when Christ is ours forevermore. See, praise God, we Christians can joyfully say the Lord will watch over us now and forever. He'll watch over us now and forever. That's where our psalm ends. Rightly stating our hope, understood through the lens of Jesus Christ. The gospel that says those who trust Jesus are born again and have a living hope and an eternal inheritance, and that by God's power we are being kept. We are being kept through faith for a salvation to be revealed in the last time. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. So brothers and sisters, the Lord is still keeping us. He's always watching over us and He's ever present with us. But one day Jesus is going to come back and He's going to take us to be with Him in a greater way, in a grander way, where He'll not only watch over us, but He'll live among us in a place of no more death or danger for forever. For the Lord Himself, Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. To meet the Lord. In the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Paul says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. That the Lord is going to keep us because He loves us. And nothing can separate us from His love for us. Romans chapter 8 verse 39. Friends, He is our help. He is our guardian. He is our protector, watching over us and looking out for us through the struggles of this life as we journey toward the heavenly home awaiting those with faith in Jesus Christ. Friends, the promise of God's protection for believers, once again, does not mean that you will be cancer-free. It doesn't mean you will be free from car wrecks and tragic accidents. Wars, mass shootings, infections, and heart attacks continue to grip the world, and we Christians are as vulnerable to these dangers as anyone. But the promise does mean that the Lord who made the heaven and the earth wins the battle. And that He cares about all of us, and that He remains with us, and that He is lovingly leading us to His glorious home. The God we praise always watches over His own. And so, fellow travelers on this pilgrim journey, trust the Lord to keep you. Trust Jesus to keep you. Trust Jesus to keep you until He takes you to His glorious home. That's the message for believers hearing this psalm today in the context of God's Word. Trust Jesus to keep you, to guide you, to protect you, to watch over you until He takes you to His glorious home. You can trust Him to lead you. For all the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When my spirit, clothed immortal, wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages. Jesus led me all the way. Friend, you can trust Him to lead you because He loves you. Amen. God, we are so grateful for Your unfailing love for us. God, You made us and You made us to know You. You are the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. You rule, You reign, and yet You're with us. You never leave us, You never forsake us. You're a God who helps us. And Lord, Your help is so clearly seen in Your coming to rescue us, to do for us what we could never do for ourselves by saving us the cross of Calvary. Through the substitutionary death of the perfect one, Your Son, who is our Savior. And so, Jesus, we praise You this morning as the God who stood in our place and who was triumphantly raised from the dead, showing victory over sin and death. And God, we know that Your Spirit now resides in Your people, a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. And so stir us even now, prompt us even now by Your Holy Spirit among us to praise You, to confess our faith to one another, and to acknowledge it to You. Oh, hear our response. Be glorified here in our hearts this day. Amen.